Prashak is somebody who sends a messenger. Like in Indian letters, it will say, Prashak Kanam Hai, name of sender. So this is the sender of Hanuman with a message. Who's that? Who sent Hanuman with a message?
Ram.
Yeah. And the Sita sent Hanuman back with a message. So I think that's Hanuman Prashika or something. Anyway, I got that name, and nobody knew what it meant for a long time, out of speculation. I was initiated in 74, grew up in California, studied electrical engineering, biological engineering, and graduated in psychology. So I guess I'm really equipped to deal with cyborg neurotic rats. Cyborg neurotic rats. We can use those in Krishna consciousness, yeah. And initiated in 74, took sannyas 84, started initiating other people in 94. Started the North American Institute for Oriental and Classical Studies, which were doing really good cultural programs around the world now, very nice programs. It was in 2004. And then I'm according to my astrology and everything else, 2024, I'm supposed to leave our body like that. So I'm kind of planning right here, these are the last few days. And we took off from our base in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, drove to Nashville on the 26th of October, flew to Houston, flew to Charles de Gaulle, flew to Delhi, drove to Vrindavan, went to Ujjain, went to Pune, went to Navi Mumbai, flew to Melbourne, went to Brisbane, and here we are. My mind and intelligence are still kind of like trying to catch up with my body, but it's nice to be here, I think. Yeah. And now we have Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 9, Text 7. Vrindavan Das Thakur, right? Yeah, he's the Acharya on Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. He says, my only desire is to study Srimad Bhagavatam, life after life, with Lord Nityananda as my teacher. So we can aspire. to study Srimad Bhagavatam life after life. Vishwa Prabhupada is our teacher. Jai, Haribol, Nitya Leela. So it's the 10th canto, and this is extremely advanced, but I understand you people here are in the clouds, right? Floating in the clouds. So, okay, this is 10 now. Mother Yashoda binds Lord Krishna. Uttarya gopi sushrustam payapuna.
Uttarya gopi sushrustam payapuna.
Uttarya gopi sushrustam payapuna.
Uttarya gopi sushrustam payapuna.
Pravishya sandrisha chadadi amatrakam.
Pravishya sandrisha.
Pravishya sangrisha cha dadya mantrakam.
Pravishya sangrisha cha dadya mantrakam.
Bhagnam vilokya svasutasya karmata.
Bhagnam vilokya svasutasya karmata.
Jahasatam chapi natatra pasyati.
Jahasatam chapi natatra pasyati.
Bolie.
Uttarya gopi susritam paya punaha.
Uttarya gopi susritam paya punaha.
Pravishya sandrishya chadatya maktrakam.
Pravishya sandrishya
Vilokya svasutasya karmataj. Jahasatam chapi natatra pasyati.
Jahasatam chapi natatra pasyati.
Uttarya gopi susitam payapurna.
Uttarya gopi susitam payapurna.
Ladies, sorry. Kulastri.
Uttarya gopi susritam payapuna. Pravishya sandrisha chadadya matrakam. Bhagnam vilokya svasutasya karmataj. Uttarya gopi susritam payapuna. Pravishya sandrisha chadadya matrakam. Vagnam vilokya svasutasya karmataj. Jahasatam chapinatatya pasyati.
Uttarya.
Uttarya.
Putting down.
Putting down.
From the oven.
From the oven.
Gopi.
Gopi.
Mother Yashoda.
Mother Yashoda.
Su.
Su.
Kritam.
Kritam.
Very hot.
Very hot.
Payaha.
Payaha.
The milk.
The milk.
Punaha.
Punaha.
Again.
Again.
Pravishya.
Pravishya.
Entered the churning spot.
Entered the churning spot.
Sadrishya.
Sadrishya.
By observing.
By observing.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Dari.
Dari.
Amatrakam.
Amatrakam.
The container of yogurt.
The container of yogurt.
Bhagna.
Bhagna.
broken.
Broken.
Vilokya.
Vilokya.
Seeing this.
Seeing this.
Swasutasya.
Swasutasya.
Of her own child.
Of her own child.
Karma.
Karma.
Work.
Work.
Tat.
Tat.
That.
That.
Jahasa.
Jahasa.
Smiled.
Smiled.
Tamcha.
Tamcha.
Krishna also.
Krishna also.
Api.
Api.
At the same time.
At the same time.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Tatra.
Tatra.
There.
There.
Parshyati.
Parshyati.
Finding.
Finding.
Utariya gopi sushrutam bhaya puna pranishya sadrisham chadhadi amatrakam bhagna vilokya swasutasya karmataj jahashyatam chapitatra payasati. Mother Yashoda, after taking down the hot milk from the oven, returned to the churning spot. When she saw that the container of yogurt was broken and that her child Krishna was not present, she concluded that the breaking of the pot was the work of Krishna. Please repeat. Mother Yashoda.
Mother Yashoda.
After taking down the hot milk from the oven.
After taking down the hot milk from the oven.
Returned to the churning spot.
Returned to the churning spot.
And when she saw that the container of yogurt was broken.
And when she saw that the container of yogurt was broken.
And that Krishna was not present.
And that Krishna was not present.
She concluded.
She concluded.
That the breaking of the pot.
The breaking of the pot.
Was the work of Krishna.
Was the work of Krishna.
So it appears that Mother Yashoda is engaged in mental speculation. Sherlock Holmes. Yes, okay. So the adventure goes on. Yeah. See now, if we're lawyers, we can say that actually Krishna didn't break it. What happened is some monkeys came in and Krishna tried to defend it, and the monkeys broke it, and Krishna ran after them. Okay. But anyway, I guess Mother Yashoda can engage in those speculations, right? It's okay. All right, Mother Yashoda, can you die? Yeah. Report. Seeing the pot broken and Krishna not present, Yashoda definitely concluded that the breaking of the pot was the work of Krishna. There was no doubt about it. Okay. Next verse. Krishna at that time was sitting on an upside down wooden mortar for grinding spices and was distributing milk preparations such as yogurt and butter to the monkeys as he liked. Because of having stolen, he was looking all around with great anxiety, suspecting that he might be chastised by his mother. Mother Yashoda, upon seeing him, very cautiously approached him from behind. It's a great movie, huh? Wow. Purport. Mother Yashoda was able to trace Krishna by following his butter-smeared footprints. A real detective story. A detective story. Yeah. Agatha Christie. Wow. She saw that Krishna was stealing butter, and thus she smiled. Okay. Meanwhile, the crows also entered the room. Crows? Okay. The plot thickens. The crows also entered the room and came out in fear. My goodness. Yeah. Thus Mother Yashoda found Krishna stealing butter and very anxiously looking here and there. Okay. So we should talk about Govardhan Puja or something also today, you mentioned.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. So anyway, this is very advanced pastimes. Srimad Bhagavatam is complete in 12 cantos. Like that. Have you heard Radhika Raman's lectures, a series he gave from ISKCON, Silicon Valley? Haven't heard those? Very, very nice discussions on the perspective on the Bhagavatam, the antiquity. There's a thing called the Catalogus Catalogorum. Maybe started maybe like 15 years ago by some university or some people. And it's an attempt to have a bibliography of all known ancient Sanskrit literatures on the planet. These are about mathematics, economics, everything else. It's a very noble attempt. Actually, Prabhupada told the devotees to go and make copies of all the writings of all the four principal acharyas, four principal sampradayas. So along with the Smithsonian, and grant from the Smithsonian, they started Project Matsya. And they did this, and they collected them, and they got lost, and went here and there, and so on. But it was definitely a project they probably wanted to do. So when the catalog Lorum was last published, it had over 140,000 ancient Sanskrit texts. And what's the guy's name? Gary Hart, University of California. He comments that some of these are so difficult that it would take a Western entire lifetime to master even one of them. And he goes on talking about the glories, this is his preface to his book, Rapid Sanskrit Method, the glories of the Bible, the Sanskrit literature. I mentioned this to our friend Dr. Samaresh Bandopadhyaya, and he laughed and he said, Swamiji, in Varanasi alone, there are 100,000 uncatalogued manuscripts. And using the very best techniques they can to preserve them, they're all still also be disappearing off the planet. So there's great necessity for Sanskrit scholars. Right? And then Radhika gave me very, very good lectures on this. And he said, Prabhupada, in most cases, discouraged older devotees from learning Sanskrit. It wasn't even prohibited it, but in most cases, he said, something else you're better at. Because the time to start learning Sanskrit is very little, right? How many Sanskrit rules can little children learn? Adults can't keep up with them. Children, I think of what it is, like 2 years old or something, they're acquiring one concept every 7 minutes or 20 minutes, like chair, floor, man, woman, door, window. Every 20 minutes they acquire a new concept and stuff. One devotee is a very good devotee. He's an Indian computer programmer, everything else. He went to Vrindavan. He was studying there in Gopakrishna Sanskrit Institute. And his 7-year-old daughter, she's very nice, she was laughing at him because she could memorize all the rules faster than he could. She couldn't keep up with her. But she didn't have the slightest idea what they meant, really. That's the whole thing. Because when you're little, memorize. And she did not want me to say one time they were traveling in, I think it was South India, and they came to some big ashram. Maybe 500 brahmacharis in the ashram. In the hot sun in the afternoon, they would sit four people under some different little grass places and just chant mantras and memorize them. And he asked one brahmachari, he said, how many mantras do you know? And the guy said, about 35,000. Because you memorize the entire Bhagavatam and you memorize this. Wow. Yeah, this, if you're born in a good family, you have good brahmachari training. This is not at all phenomenal. So much opportunity of what we can do for learning Sanskrit, for starting to teach people. And then all these works, Dr. Samaresh, for example, he said, just for example, there's one Sanskrit work, which is a diary of some prime minister of a king in North India who in the 8th century was sent to travel here and there, and he kept a Sanskrit diary of his experiences and stuff. He says it's extremely interesting, in some spirituality and also with the things that were happening. So there's so many great literatures to divert people from all this other kind of stuff there, and details about medicine, architecture, political science, all these things. So Sanskrit is a wonderful resource. And that was his name, Professor Gary Hart was saying, Sanskrit has this collection of great literature. He said, without a doubt, Panini is the greatest pre-modern grammarian. Yeah. And the works of Kalidas rival, if not defeating, the Iliad and the Odyssey. And in my opinion, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest work of devotion ever written, being possibly equaled by other works in the Sanskrit language. He's a Western scholar. Then Professor Narasimha Rao. He's an emeritus professor of Sanskrit from Madras University. He left his body recently. But they brought him to Oxford to teach Srimad Bhagavatam, other literatures, to the graduate students. So Radhika was part of his class, maybe eight people there. And he said, Ravi, I want to tell you that I've studied all the major Sanskrit literatures and most of the minor ones. And not being proud, I've been doing it for 50 years, so if I hadn't done it by now, it would be embarrassing. So he says, it describes that the Puranas are so beautiful, so brilliant, know, like stars in the sky, you know, proud with the Puranas, you know, until the moon of Srimad Bhagavatam comes up. Yeah. He's much bigger than we are. Yeah. He said it's not an exaggeration. He said that the beauty of the poetry, for the depth of the philosophy, and for the sophistication of the grammar, Srimad Bhagavatam is in a class by itself. One time I was reading a book, actually some reference to it, look that nice and do it. It was by an atheist, Indian atheist. He wasn't like a vicious guy or anything else, but he believed that everything was created from matter by evolution. Right? Yeah, frogs, whatever, computer, software engineers. And so we're all evolving and getting higher and higher things are being produced from evolution. And more beautiful, more and more wonderful. Isn't evolution wonderful? So his conclusion was that the highest product of evolution was the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Evolution ki jai. Everybody. Most of the Puranas don't have commentaries, right? But Srimad Bhagavatam has over 140 major commentaries. Yeah. I think Skanda Purana comes in next with like 40 or something. Yeah. Yeah. And everybody, you know, Mayavadis try to prove that Srimad Bhagavatam shows that we are all Krishna. We can all become Krishna. Very difficult. Yeah. Very difficult. Yeah. So it's very, glorious literature. Yeah. I was trying to read all, and then what do we have from Prabhupada? Prabhupada's given us all these things in a format that we can appreciate, and also the next acharya can appreciate it for how many years, you know? Discussion. Prabhupada said one time in a car going to the beach in Rameshwar, said he heard that my books will be law books for the next 10,000 years. Okay. So Prabhupada gave us, you know, the Isopanishad, right? Some people, the latest, our literature is divided into Shruti and Smriti, right? Shruti is that which we hear directly from God. Smriti is what people have then produced after contemplating it and putting it in some format like that, Smriti. Yeah. So some people don't accept Smriti. Yeah. Do we have anything from Srila Prabhupada which is Shruti? Or is all of our literature Smriti? What do we have from Prabhupada? Anything that's Shruti.
Bhagavad Gita?
Huh? It's also a part of Mahabharata.
Isopanishad.
It's the only thing. And reading it in Prabhupada's commentary, it's almost like Prabhupada did that just for that purpose. These things are better explained in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Many times he says that. But so we have, we can say. And Isopanishad is not a light Upanishad. You could even say it's the most powerful of all the Upanishads. Where in Prabhupada's books does it list the 108 Upanishads? Anybody know?
Must be in the Chaitanya Charita.
In Chaitanya Charita, Rita. Adilila, Madhulila, or
Madhulila.
In Madhulila. No, it's Adilila.
Adi.
Yeah, Lord Chaitanya, the chapter Lord Chaitanya and Five Features, which Prabhupada printed as a separate book before he printed it. Chapter 7. It's a very interesting chapter, very significant. Okay, so Adi Lila, chapter 7, and you're going to remember this forever now. Verse number 108. There's almost no reason to put it there. And I looked at the list and I noticed there's two names are the same. Maybe there's two Upanishads are the same name. But right in the first, 10 or something, 14 Upanishads, Isopanishad is considered topmost. So we can be very proud of recording from Isopanishad. What's it go? Hiran Mayena Patrena Satyasya Vihitam Bhukam Taptuan Pusham Apavinu Satya Dharmaya Vishyate. Very clear. Remove your revulsion, show your face. 15th verse, very clear. So very, very powerful. And then after that we have this is a lecture I have in a PowerPoint show. The Bhaktivedanta Library. So there's, of course, here maybe also in the United States, many devotees have all these books. They don't read them, they have them all. So you can actually start stacking them in front of you. It's really a good show, Isopanishad, the Vedas, world classical literature, we can start there. The Ramayana, the Thousand and One Arabian Nights, the works of Shakespeare, the Bible, you can look at all these things intellectually, intelligently. You know, you can establish that the Vedas, Vedas are very powerful. Okay, Isopanishad. Then the Gita, Gita Upanishad, also known as the Bhagavad Gita, which is the ABCs. This is the introduction. The Srimad Bhagavatam takes up philosophically and historically where the Bhagavad Gita finishes. Okay. Then we got Bhagavad Gita, so my graphic is the heart, little heart there. That's the heart of the Bhaktivedanta library. You know, it's the Idam Bhagavatam Nama. It's the incarnation of God. It's the everything. Then after that, you can make a very easy graphic with everything else coming off of it. We put Chaitanya Charitamrita as a Srimad Bhagavatam class. You know, Lord Chaitanya is a covered avatar. Prabhupada says he's the ideal preacher of Srimad Bhagavatam. So you can take then Chaitanya Charitamrita as a, the Lord Chaitanya showing us how to appreciate Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya says, you can only understand Srimad Bhagavatam when you become a madman like me. Right? Of course, there are many madmen, but we're talking about a madman like Lord Chaitanya. So he's showing us, you know. And then, of course, we have the Krishna book, Tenth Canto, Lord Bhagavad, one chapter, a very, very nice thing. And when you stack all, stacking all these books up, you know, 17 volumes of, what is it, room, 35 volumes of room conversations, you know, Bhagavad Gita lectures, Srimad Bhagavatam lectures, what else you got, morning walk, you know, it's all these books stacking up, you know. Then one time I said, and Srila Prabhupada, some people say, Srila Prabhupada didn't give you everything, you know. So there's one new boy in the audience, and he looked looking at the other thing, and he said, thank God. It is, it's really impressive. You know? One person did this in like, what is it, like 10 years? A professional author who knows what he's doing, got a contract, it takes 2 years to produce a book smaller than this, 2 years. You know. Prabhupada did with 100 and so many books in 10 years. I calculated one time it would take, I think it was 36 professional authors to keep up with Srila Prabhupada. Well, it's all repetition is simple. No, there's one purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I remember it's 14 page long purport. It looks like a verse today, but who cares? 14 pages long. What it is a Bhaktivedanta summary study of Sanatana Goswami's refutation of Shankaracharya's commentary on four essential verses of the Vedanta Sutra, where he tries to prove that the bodies of Shankarshan, Vasudeva, and Pradyumna are material. Okay. It should be published as a separate little booklet. So much work to do. Just sitting in your audience, just pull these things out. You know? So, okay, Srimad Bhagavatam is the heart of everything. Everything else is a good thing. And Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, is complete in 12 cantos. Most Puranas, besides not having the commentaries, also you can't quite figure out what their purpose is, where they're going. They'll start off with Shiva, and go to Krishna, go back to gym therapy, come back around the park. And it's, well, what is this thing talking about? But Srimad Bhagavatam is very clear, right? What is the Parivasa Sutra of Srimad Bhagavatam?
Krishna's two Bhagavan Swami.
Krishna's two Bhagavan Swami.
Okay, that's all you know.
Ete Chamsalakala Upanishad, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swami. Indrari Vyakalam Lokam.
Yeah, please repeat. Ete chamsa sakal pumsam.
Ete chamsa sakal pumsam.
Krishna stu bhagavan swayam.
Krishna stu bhagavan swayam.
That's enough. Yeah. Right in the beginning, Jiva Goswami says this is the Parivasa Sutra. The sutra makes everything make sense. It's not exactly a summary, but it's a purpose. Everything else makes it all hold together. So Sudha Goswami has been describing all these different incarnations, Purusha avatars, Shakyadesh avatars, Leela avatars, Luna avatars, and all these different kinds of great personality. Bill Gates, Arnold Schwarzenegger, who am I, what should I do, Mombasa Snake, all these great things. Okay, but then he says, Ete cha'amsa sakal pumsam, that all these previous incarnations are expansions, or expansions of expansions, But the original personality of Godhead, Bhagavan Swayam, is Krishna. And of course, Mayavadis and everybody else just go through this whole, you know, grammatical, you know, fireworks show to try and, like, you know, adjust it at this point and that point and everything else. But it's pretty clear. You know? So, okay, so that's the bottom of the talk. Canto after canto after canto is trying to bring us to understand Krishna. He's not a Leela avatar, he's not a Purusha avatar, he's not a Guna avatar. He is Avatara, Avatari. So very, very clear. He sticks with that purpose of going higher and higher and higher and higher. If you have to follow properly, becoming purified to appreciate Purusha avatars, Vaikunthapati, Ayodhapati, then finally, yeah, we come to the 10th canto, we're purified enough that we can enter into these pastimes. Jayananda told us that Prabhupada said, if you just go on chanting Hare Krishna, you will see pastimes you never read in any of my books. But if you do that, chanting Hare Krishna and reading the books, then you'll start seeing pastimes that are not mentioned. Prabhupada's mentioned the crows are coming in now. Where does Prabhupada get that from? Vishnu Chakravarti's commentary. Yeah. Many things like that. So this is very advanced, okay? So, it develops like that. It's very systematic in the whole program. The first two cantos are Krishna's lotus feet. Three and four is legs. Five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Rasa little chapters are smile. 11, 12. And 11 goes back and finishes the incarnations. Ninth canto, it starts off with Armanu and all of his descendants, expands out for Krishna, then it goes back to the descendants of Armanu after Krishna. And the 12th canto was the summary of Srimad Bhagavatam, the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's extremely well organized didactically. You can analyze it and break it up. If you have a German mentality, there's I am. You can break it up and analyze it and organize it until you can understand. Now I understand Srimad Bhagavatam. She very systematic, very organized. Yeah. We have acronyms for everything like that. Yeah. Time here, yeah. So 10th canto for highly purified souls. And of course now we're having Govardhan Leela. We're commemorating all these different activities and festivals, and they come again and again. But a very, very nice book would be Krishna Consciousness Throughout the Year, and having different verses you can memorize on different days and PowerPoint shows. You know. Today is a very, very good day, or yesterday was. Why not? Govardhan Puja can go on for 3 or 4 days, right? You do that. Manipur, Gorpurnima is 1 week. Jamastami is 72 hours without stopping. That goes on. Okay, but we're not moving. So, when Lord Chaitanya saw Govardhan Hill, you know, he chanted one verse from the Bhagavatam. It's a very, very nice verse for us to memorize. Anybody know that verse? This is New Govardhan, right? Hantayam Adriya Abalahari Dasavarya Yadrama Krishna Charanas Parasha Pramoda Mano Tanoti Sahago Ganayos Kayorya Pani Yasu Yavasa Kanda Kanda Mulai. One gopi, you know, maybe 10 years old, 12 years old, they're all seeing Krishna leaving in the morning. Of course, this is a holy, holy event. Krishna's leaving. When Krishna leaves Vrindavan, he tempts everybody's mind with him, like that. So if you go to Vrindavan during the daytime and talk to somebody, say, Dhruva, where's the keys to the car? He goes, yeah, keys to the car, oh, they're over there. Everybody's like that. Everybody's thinking about something else. You know? What is this? Nobody's here. You know? So Krishna takes everybody's mind with him, and they're getting news. They're hearing the orchestra of all the flutes and everything else, and playing over there, here and there, the boys are here, the boys are there, and different snacks are coming and going, like that. And people running back and forth, the news is going on. So everybody's, you know, continuously, you know, back and forth. So when Krishna leaves, that's a holy event, And so the gopis are describing, you know, Krishna disappearing in the forest and what it looks like, and all of his associates, everything else. So one gopi is describing Govardhan. And this is the prayer that Lord Chaitanya would offer to Govardhan. Hanta, you know, just hear me. Hantya ahantant hantayam adhir. Oh my dear friend, you know, this Govardhan hill is Haridasa Varya, right? The greatest of all the devotees of Hari. He's ecstatic. Why? That the grass is standing up on his body like hairs on somebody's body in ecstasy. Why? Because Rama and Krishna are walking on him. This is quite a treat, right? Krishna and Balaram walking on you. You might also become a little bit motivated. Your seeker might stand on him and the blood run cold in your veins, whatever. Adi Bobo. Yeah. So Govardhan's ecstatic because Krishna and Balaram are walking all over him. He's the greatest devotee. Manam Tanoti, with great respect, he's offering all these things, you know. Nice, soft grass. This grass also has very, very ecstatic medicinal properties. It makes the cows healthy and happy and everything else. You know, all the grass in Vrindavan has very, very different flavors and tastes. It says that the, what do you call these guys? The Vedantists, I don't remember, the Vedas personified. The Vedas personified were able to take birth as cows before they're chanting all the Vedas, Om Tad Vishnu, Param Param. But they're satisfied to be cows in Vrindavan. Step up. And by tasting the different rasas of the different grasses in Vrindavan, they become introduced, initiated into the mellows of Vrindavan. So they're sitting here, you know, tasting the different grasses and their mellows, and that's how they begin to appreciate, you know, Chandravali, and, you know, Radha, you know, Shama. So Govardhan especially has one kind of grass which is really nice. And it's very nice, tasty, soft, beautiful mountain reservoirs and water flowing down. I was mentioning before, we had a place in Northern California called Mount Kailas. And the water there was just incredible. And it had this very, very nice, robust quality to which literally when you went there, it was up in the mountains a little bit, and the air was fresh, and big valley, maybe 100 acres. And at one season, the Pennyroyal. You know Pennyroyal? You have here? Yeah, very nice. The entire valley is like here. It was this, manifested. The whole atmosphere was just like this intoxicating aroma of Pennyroyal. You know? And that would finish off, and then chamomile. Oh, yeah, I can imagine. This is the Govardhan, the same thing. If you go there, why you realize it? And the water from the ground, you could live on it for 3 days. It was so like the nutrients and everything else. This is a. Some example, like Govardhan, the waters like this, and the fragrances, and beautiful stones made of, like, you know, those amber and stuff, which have a little fragrance. And the gopis would decorate them with their cloths and make their own. So anyway, Govardhan is like a Disneyland of a spiritual world. There's so many caves and all this stuff, you know. So, this gopi is saying he's the very best devotee because he offers all these things for Krishna's pastimes. Trees full of fruits and flowers and fragrances and different choruses of birds, you know, singing Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai. But angry Indra became a little puffed up, right, and so on. That's one of the main reasons for the Govardhan Puja is to get Krishna wants to straighten Indra out. Indra is a Shaktyavesh avatar of Krishna's lusty nature. Nara is Shaktyavesh avatar of the Bhakti. So it's not surprising that Indra every now and again gets a little carried away because he has that, you know, that nature of potency. Good clothes, beautiful wife on my arm, going out to mercy, what do you call it, the Rolls Royce to inaugurate some shopping mall. So sometimes he gets, you know, look what Krishna did in the first place. They're organizing the whole sacrifice for Indra, glory, power, energy, prestige, wonderful. And all the ingredients are there. It's like I take a plate of nice Mahaprasad and put it in front of Pranadas and sit it down and say, oh, it's nice for somebody else. Pull it away. Hey, So not only did Krishna, like, you know, he was really irritating them, you know. Then he started preaching karma amongst the philosophy, who's probably pissing off everything like that. Oh yeah, even if there is a god, this guy called Indra, whoever he is, why do we need to worry about him? He's just like a bookkeeper who applies the rules and regulations, you know. He has no independent authority. Yeah, okay. So anyway, by this time, Indra was really, you know, how you say it in Australian, but irritated me. Say it politely. So then he said all these, you know, clouds and everything else. You've all seen the little Krishna movie, right? It's pretty good. Big trouble. Tried to kill the Vrishabhasis. You know, tried to kill them. And then they all say, look, we went out of the limb for you. Look, Krishna, we trusted you and went out of the limb to do this and everything else. And now we're in big trouble and stuff. And are they doubting him or are they advancing? Some are advancing. Is Krishna really there? I want to know if you're really there this time. I'm really in a big mess because of you. You know, okay, and then Krishna comes through, the infallible hero who never fails. You know, without that, no philosophy is brilliant. Lord Buddha says that. And Krishna does that. You know, okay. And he saves everybody. Let's go downhill. And everybody's very happy. And many different relationships we're discussing. Some people are in Shantara, some are in Gopi Baba. And while Krishna's lifting the hill, he's engaging in all kinds of, you know, different relationships with people. It's a whole little festival for 7 days. Krishna can't move, so he can just look at it. Then he puts the hill down. Indra was thunderstruck and baffled in his determination. So I think probably a little tongue-in-cheek there. Krishna was thunderstruck and baffled in his determination, so he gave up. Then he came down to Androli and was doing his dandavats all the way to Saravikur. He was wondering what's going to happen. And he apologized and everything else. And Krishna said, hey, mate, that's okay. We'll give you a fair go, mate. On the second chance here. And Brahma, and Krishna just kind of didn't say anything when he apologized. Because, you know, Brahma should have been more intelligent. But it, okay, it's just your nature, fella. You know, it's okay. It was a good time. You know, it's okay. And watch out and be careful. Don't let it happen again. You know, okay. You know. So that's Govardhan Puja, the festival. So right now, we have Govardhan Puja. Now we should expect like rain and lightning. She's blocks of light falling from the sky. And everything else, right? You know, go on CNN. The Hare Krishnas have done some puja and caused world catastrophe. They tell us, don't worry, that something will happen. You know, oh my God. What's the name? Donald Trump is sending something to Guru Govardhan in Australia. Nazi frogmen are being sent to Guru Govardhan, Australia. Yeah. Yes. So, Govardhan Puja Ki Jai. Right?
Yeah.
So, any questions or comments? Complaints? Donations?
two questions.
Oh, okay. It's kind of Madhuri. She has to use the mantra one time.
We get attached to Govardhan, so it's Govardhan in the spiritual world.
Yeah. In the Garga Samhita, which, you know, devotees use, and nobody's ever done anything wrong with it. And there's some justification that our Sampradaya also accepts it. Okay. And Krishna's packing up everything for the incarnation. Buddha had a head there, and Radharani asks, can I come too? He says, yes, yes. And she stops and thinks, but I won't be happy without Govardhan, you know. And then Krishna says, he's already there. You know, yeah. So he's there. Yeah. I mean, everything's a lot, you know, almost everything is in, everything. Everything is there in Gomalila, Gokula, that's in Goloka, but it's a little different form. In Gokula, the gopis have husbands. In Goloka, they only think they have husbands, you know, which solves a lot of problems in life. If you only think you have a husband. You know, very nice place. So many things. In Vrindavan, Gomalila, there are demons. The same way, but in Goloka, only rumors of demons, you know, pretty much. Unless it's a necessary thing. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Kumar is saying we don't really know who we are, you know, the other day. So, but when you get to the spiritual world, is it fixed, your relationship with Krishna, or you can move around?
It's interesting, yeah. What is the origin of the jiva? Yeah, in the beginning, you know, we're identifying, like Anamaya, we're identifying, we're sure, I am the world. You know, mother's breast, you know, mother's face. It's like Anamaya, we're just like you know, not even like, but like bacteria. Okay, you know? Then by natural development of a human body, by Krishna's arrangement, we go from Anamaya to Pranamaya. And Pranamaya, which the Americans is called the terrible twos. You know, at 2 years old, you start to realize, you start to become more advanced and realize, I'm not the world, I am this body. So your realization is, I'm not this body, I am this body. And for some people, that's a step up. And then someone tries to cut your hair, it's World War III, you know, it's like, you know, watch your fecal matter going down the toilet and stuff. You know, so, you know, it's a whole process of self-realization. Allow a child to flush the toilet, you know. Cut a little piece off his hair, and I think, okay, this is yoga. Anamaya, Pranamaya, dogs come to this too. And the next level is Anamaya, Pranamaya. Manamaya. That's when you start identifying, you know, okay, you know. A little girl from Fiji can do this, but I'm not an Australian girl, right? You know, you start figuring out like how you're supposed to dress, and boys do this, girls do that, you know, white people do this, yellow people do that, green people do that, you know, purple people do that. Yeah. And you see this, it's very developed. People fight over this, you know, big wars and stuff. And okay, if you make fortunate enough, you come in contact with Socrates, Confucius, Lao Tzu, Solomon, and you go from Pranamaya to Manamaya to? Yeah, Gyanamaya. And then you start getting wisdom, Brahman. And then really beyond that, then it was sometimes called Vijnanamaya, and then Anandamaya, and so on. So it's a realization. So at our level, we may go through all these. I've actually seen people come to temple with just complete basket cases. I mean, literally, you come every evening, take a little prasad, and go away. And after about 2 weeks, you started moving from foot to foot during the kirtan. I saw it was just incredible. And this process works for anybody. So different levels of development. In the beginning, sambandha is you really realize by the process that I am a servant of Krishna. Okay? I work for the bank of piggy, whatever it is. You know, they're gonna pay me, I'm gonna work. I don't know what my job is, you know, management trainee, guard, security guard, okay. So that's my basically first initiation, sambandha. You know, Krishna's God, I'm a servant, and specifically my service is to chant 16 rounds a day, follow four principles. You go on with the process, second initiation, begin to figure out I'm Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmini, Kshatriya. So you start to get some thing, which is still your body, your mind, but she just helps. You know? Then when we come to Ruchi, you know, what you call Raganuga Marg, then you start to actually, when somebody's doing it with you, you can actually get into the rasa level. And maybe the girls are all imitating Yashoda to start with, and the guys are all imitating Hanuman or Bhima or something. You know? But there's something there. It's like you're coming out, you're stimulating something deep. You know? And then as it becomes more purified, then yeah, you start to realize your swarupa starts to come out, you know, like that. But I've been a female body, but my nature is aggressive, you know, controlling everything else, and so forth, so on, so on. You know, okay, you know. Then Ruchi, Asada, Asakti, Sabha. In Bhava, you know your relationship with Krishna. That is clear. But it's just not intense. It's not deep enough in everything else. I am a cow. My name is Clarabelle. Okay, but there's still some, you know, Bhava's in the immature stage. It is an apple. It's not a mango. It's not a peach. It's not a pear. It's an apple. But it's a green apple. Krishna can't appreciate it yet. So in Bhava, then, it's simply a matter of just increasing the speed, increasing the intensity, the depth, and then finally, we're fully awake. That's all it is. You know? Nitya Siddha, Krishna Prema, Sadhya Kavanaya, Shravanadi, Shri Chitta, Karajayudaya. I have a pretty good collection of Sanskrit verses. Now, the trick is simply memorize all the verses in Upadeshamrita. And look, if you want to be more advanced, look up the links. All those citations will take you to fundamental aspects. It's an incredible study guide. This is our process in Upadeshamrita is sufficient. So these verses, all these sexual verses are in there. This is it. Nitya Siddha, eternal perfection. Nitya Siddha, Krishna Prema, Sabya Kabunaya, not something you get from some other source. Shravan, Adi, hearing and chanting, etc. Shravan, Adi, Shude Chitta, purifies the conscious. Karade Vijaya, very clear. So Krishna Prema is an eternal perfection of the soul that wakes up. So Prema means specific relationship. There's no impersonal Prema. Yeah, some people try and say, well, we had prema, but it was impersonal or something. It's like, yes, he's an impersonal person. Yes, okay, yeah. So yeah, we have, according to this perspective, yeah, we're waking up to our relationship like that. And nobody's going to give up anything in spiritual life. Whatever you got, you hang on to. Yeah. Yeah. But you can go on improving it. Which is more advanced, you know, Jagannath Puri or Vrindavan? Well, you say Vrindavan. Yeah, but the Gambhira is within Jagannath Puri, where Lord Chaitanya is experiencing ecstasies which are insuperable and incomparable. You know? So yeah, maybe you're a monkey in Krishna Lila, but there's a lot of monkeys. So you can go on improving your service unlimitedly. Unlimitedly. You know? Even Krishna doesn't know what our service can be. We don't know. So that's it, as far as I can understand.
Thank you. Thank you so
much. So I want to thank everybody. We're going to be here, our host, until Wednesday, right?
Yeah, Wednesday morning.
We have early. 19 hours in 3 different airplanes, and how much time we don't know in airports to get back to Calcutta. Kolkata. We're working on, principally, we may want to talk, we're working with the Ministry of Education, and that, which is a happy, harmonious, conflict-free organization. I have some messages from your friend. why are you remembered on the Saturday product? Yeah. So okay, I'm a member. You're also too, right? Yeah. We're both members of the executive committee of the Ministry of Education of the International Society for Christian Consciousness. One man was going through Grand Central Station in New York, and he said, "Hey, shoe shine boy, how much it costs to shine my shoes?" And the guy said, "I'm not a shoe shine boy. I'm a footwear maintenance engineer." I'm a member of the executive committee. But there's a lot of stuff going on in education. So much stuff. A lot of things to discuss. We're starting a new magazine. And the other thing I'm working in has kind of come down to this thing. We're doing at Bhaktivedanta Institute. So we're doing these university programs. And my area is kind of like cultural anthropology, psychology. And right now, our final product we're working on, we've been working with the Ministers of Education, so many things like that, you know, Nobel laureates even. Right now, the project we're focusing on is Art and the Sacred. That's a title which is going to be able to be a media to meet many people. Art and the Sacred. And we're trying to get a $125,000 grant to make a movie and so on. So that's what we're kind of working on, psychology, and sociology, and Carl Jung, very big personality in our whole approach like that. So, we also Arjuna and Hamlet, doing that. So, we're here for a few days. Hope you have a wonderful, stimulating association. Hare Krishna. So, Prabhupada ki jai. Back home, back to God.
He told us Hanuman Prashak Swami Maharaj ki
jai.
Mornings. I think we're going to
Sunday feast
class. Can you give
today? What time?
4 p.m.
4:20.
Okay. I guess so. By your mercy.
Yeah. But other than that, we won't do any evening programs because Maharaj's schedule has been very busy and he has to catch up on some important
writing
things. But he probably might come for kirtan and stuff. He'll be here, but just no classes or anything like that. So morning classes, make sure you come for the morning classes. Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's a button on top. There's a button.
Twice.